is called Rest in Relationship. We have such a need to be connected. I see it in the world constantly. You know, people running around with that little cell phone goodie on their ear. You know, they're available 24 hours a day. People on the freeway are talking on their cell phone. People walking, talking on their cell phone. We want to be connected. But that's not the connection that is really, that's going to meet our heart. I mean, we, so many times in our lives, we're reaching out to other people to be connected, trying to establish a relationship. But the thing is, we're already connected. God has made the relationships. And, you know, looking out to humans just produces striving. There's still a lot of striving in all of us. God wants us to accept the rest that He's given to us. And only by being aware of what He's done can we rest. So the striving happens when we look to humans for some quality that God has. I'm not saying that God's attributes aren't in humans, but it's kind of the wrong focus. We're looking for to get something from people, something because we have in our heart, we have needs that God has put there, and God wants to be the one that meets those needs. But as humans, we pervert that, and we go to other humans to get our needs met. You all agree with that? All right. I didn't think I really had to say that, but there's different relationships that are established in the biological world. You know, they're called symbiotic relationships. That just means two organisms having a relationship. And there's one that everyone's aware of. It's called parasitic. And that relationship benefits one, but usually harms the other. I'm sure we've all experienced that. Then there's mutualism, and that's a really good relationship because both parties are benefited without harm to either of them. I think that's probably the kind of relationship that God's placed us in. And then the other one is commensalism. And in that one, one party of the relationship is benefited, but without harm to the other. So that's not really an even playing field, is it? Now, we've heard things like codependency, you know, that kind of terminology. And in a nutshell, that's when an individual is trying to get something from another individual that really isn't healthy. And sometimes the other individual plays into it. It's not healthy for them either, but they play into it and it satisfies a certain thing. That happens a lot of times because of our history of woundedness. And you know, we know that the Spirit of God is at work within us to expose those things so that He can be our healer, so He can be life in those old areas. We fight that, though, don't we? Why do we do that? You know, the Spirit brings us into situations that are troubling to us, and we just dig our heels in instead of just throwing ourselves on the horn of the altar and asking for mercy. You know that story about Mary and Martha came up recently in the translation David read really stuck with me. It doesn't say it in the NIV, but Jesus said to Martha, "There are a few things required, really only one, and Mary has chosen it." So when we go to humans to get our needs met, it's never going to work out. When we sit at Jesus' feet to have our needs met, then we can freely relate to other people and be in the spiritual relationship God has intended. You know, if you have a machine and you got metal against metal, it wears it out. But if you put some grease in there, they can slide over each other without harm to either one, and the machine runs efficiently. Jesus is the grease. You know how red, you know, the red in our blood is called hemoglobin. You know that hemoglobin's always in relationship, just like us. The hemoglobin passes through your lungs and captures oxygen, goes through the body and delivers the oxygen. Delivers the oxygen, grabs carbon dioxide, goes back to the lungs and gets rid of it. Gets oxygen, just keeps going around. Now, in an unhealthy situation, we have a couple of chemicals that really mess with the hemoglobin. Carbon monoxide is one of them. Cyanide is another. I'm sure there's a whole bunch, but these are just two that I'm familiar with. What happens is the hemoglobin will go up to the lungs and get rid of the carbon dioxide, but if there's carbon monoxide or cyanide gas present, it grabs that and it can't get rid of it. It's like bound up with it. So what happens is the tissue suffocates on a molecular level. How many have ever been in a relationship that suffocates? So we want to relate correctly. What was the first commandment? I mean, Jesus, you know, talked to that one guy and he said, "I've kept all the commandments." And Jesus said something about all the commandments are summed up in this: love the Lord your God with all your heart. I mean, he's really first. And when he's not first, things go haywire with every one of us. You know, sometimes our needs translate into an agenda, you know, and we manipulate people, or, you know, we try to get something from them that they're really not intended to give us. It happens in the church, it happens in the world, happens in families. I don't need to tell you, you're all familiar with that. Let's look over at 1 Corinthians 13 if we could. Now 1 Corinthians 13, everybody knows this. Probably the most well-known chapter in the Bible, wouldn't you say? But it seems to me that when we read this, it's going to put us under law, because we read it and it says, this is how love is, and we all look at our own lives and we realize, well, I don't love that way all the time. But let's look at it as the way God loves us. What do you think? I mean, I think every time this is brought out, it's saying this is the love we're supposed to have. Well, in us, I'll speak personally, in me, I don't have this love as a natural human. The only way this love is going to be in me on any consistent basis is as I surrender to Him and let it flow right through me. So I don't want to read this, but what I want to look at is verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see, but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. What the Holy Spirit has been doing in all of our lives is He's been working at building maturity within us. Let's put aside the wrong ways of relating. And it's not that we got to work on our relationships. There's only one relationship we really need to work at, and that's the absolute surrender to the Lordship of Christ. When that's there, everything else is perfect. I don't want to get the cart before the horse, right? So, I mean, I can look at relationships I have. I wish they were a little different. What's going to make them different is me changing in the presence of God. I don't need to worry about the other person's behavior or their issues or problems. Maybe you can relate to that. Thank you.
There is a realm of understanding and wisdom concerning relationships that we have not even tapped into yet. We live in an age where self-help books, I mean, they fill up bookstores. There's so much good knowledge out there, and yet we're still so troubled and conflicted in our relationships. There are keys that are in the Father's heart, and we were created in His image. And He is central to us having healthy relationships one to another. This relating in the Spirit, it's locked into Jesus Christ being our head. And I just really witnessed to this morning. I mean, it's just like with Mary, as we wait before Him, we find rest, and we're going to find a deeper awareness of what He accomplished for us and our relationships when He sacrificed His life. There is a provision that's yet to be tapped into, or we're just beginning to tap into it. And I just sense that this morning. And you know, we all have our struggles, but remember, in Him we are one. There is oneness is the reality, oneness is the truth. And it's like we're in a process of maturity, of waking up out of the lie into what was accomplished for us on Calvary. So Father, we draw to our hearts just the expectancy and faith that You teach us. You open our eyes to see how we're meant to relate one to another. It's something You've already established in the realm of heaven. We just need to experience it here on this realm of earth. Take away the veil and the conditioning and the fear and the doubt and all the things that cloud our awareness and hinder our relating one to another. And in you, there's a capacity of love where we're going to realize the oneness that you won for us. And we're going to experience one another and the people in our life on a whole new level. We yearn for that. Let's take communion now. I think this is perfect direction. It's an awakening into the realm and the truth of the oneness that we already have. And that truth and the power of that truth is the healing for all relationships. And did everybody have it? I don't have it yet. I better.
I don't want to miss out here. Thank you.
I want to read something that Thelma gave me a few weeks back, and I think this is appropriate time for it. I have carried it around in my Bible. When we partake of the Spirit of Christ, that one bread, we become unified with each other in his eternal body. Each kernel of wheat has been broken and ground to become part of the bread. Each individual grape has been crushed to become part of the cup. By laying aside our individual natures and by accepting the loving nature of Christ, we all become one. Amen. Let's partake of the bread together.